Mark 5, starting at verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat unto the other side, a great multitude was gathered unto him, and he was by the sea. And there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And seeing him, he falleth at his feet, and beseecheth him much, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. I pray thee that thou come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be made whole and live. And he went with him, and a great multitude followed him, and they thronged him. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and Luke tells us a little girl is that age, 12 years, had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. And straightway Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned him about in the crowd and said, Who touched my garment? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that she had done what had been done to her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, they come from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? But Jesus, and there are two readings here, overhearing what they said, and not heeding the word spoken, saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Fear not, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow with him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And he beholdeth a tumult, and many weeping and wailing greatly. And when he was entered in, he saith unto them, Why make ye a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But he, having put them all forth, taketh the father of the child, and her mother, and them that were with him, and goeth in where the child was. And taking the child by the hand, he saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose up and walked, for she was 12 years old. And Luke tells us that when he spoke to her, her spirit returned. And they were all amazed straightway with a great amazement. And he charged them much that no man should know this. And he commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, let us know that the things that we have read about this day have been happening since that day when sin first entered into the world. Tears, fear, heartbreak, and then death. And so this has been the thing that mankind has been subject to and heir to since the coming of sin into the world. And thou hast told us it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Our Father, we see that even those who lived in the days when thy Son was on earth were not exempt from this. And even Christ himself also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. We are thankful that no one, save two, have escaped death, but we are thankful that there was one who was raised from the dead, and he is the one of whom we read this morning, the Lord Jesus, in the midst of death and suffering. And we pray that as he actually, at the moment, did the miracles that we read about then, we pray that thou shalt instill faith in our hearts to believe that in time, for those who trust him, he shall perform the miracle for them as well. God is no respecter of persons. And so, help us this morning to learn. Would you prepare our hearts by thy Spirit, and prepare the lips of him who speaks, and cleanse us all from sin, that we may be worthy to hear the word of God, and to speak the word of God. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. If you have lived any time at all, and have observed things, what we read about, women having an issue of blood, paralysis, blindness, death of children, you have learned that all of these things are the common lot of men. You see them happening. They are a fact. But the difference is that when people see these things, they have different reactions to them. Some people see these things and they are overwhelmed and they pass judgment on the meaning of life, and their philosophy of life is controlled by the interpretation that they give to events like the one I read you about. And so some people say, there is no God. If there were, why would such things happen to a 12-year-old child? Why would a woman like this suffer for 12 years? And then that other woman who for numerous years had been bent double, and it says that the devil had bent this woman over and had tortured her all of those years. Why, if there were any God and there were any love in his heart, these things would not happen among men. And so all of these things that I've been reading you about cause perplexity in the heart of some, but never in the heart of Jesus. Not when they happen to him, not when they happen to John the Baptist, the one who was his forerunner and announced his coming, not when they happen to a widow woman, not when they happen to Lazarus, not when they happen to this little girl. All of these events that happen to all men, they never perplex the Lord Jesus, and they never upset him. He always knew why they happened. And on various occasions, he told people why these things happened. Now, this is important. In past weeks, when things happened, the Lord Jesus gave us the reasons that these things happened. I told you that some people go through life in ignorance. Things happen to them, and they are oblivious as to why they happen. They've not read in the Bible why people die. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. They do not understand that the wages of sin is death. They do not understand that God has an interpretation of life, and he says, the wages of sin is death and suffering and wailing and pain. And some men do not know that. And then other men learn God's interpretation of life, his explanation of why things happen, and then they reject it. But whatever your response is to things that happen in your life and that you read about in the Bible, how you feel about them does not alter the fact of the truthful interpretation by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in some lives, he comes to them and he tells them exactly why this happened to them. And he does something for them. Others, he looks at them in their suffering, passes them by, and says nothing. And others, he does something for them, but does not give one word of explanation why this happened or how he is going to bring about the healing of the broken heart. Isn't that remarkable? Well, that sounds like partiality to me. Why don't you tell everybody why this happened? Why do you not come and raise to life every child that has died? Why do you not heal every woman that has a diseased body? Now, I cannot answer that. But I know that the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, selected certain ones to bring certain blessings into their lives. Why, when he was in Solomon's porch, it was filled with sick people. And the Lord Jesus walked by them, and he went over to one man, and he said, "You are the one I'm going to heal today." Why he did it, I cannot tell you. You say, well, could he have healed them all? Every one of them. Just as he touched one leper and healed him, he spoke to 10 lepers, and they were all healed. And had the Lord Jesus wished when he was on earth, he could have cured every disease, and not one man or woman or child would have died from that moment forward. But it was not the will of the Father nor of the Son to do that. But what God's will was to demonstrate that when Jesus was on earth, he was able to explain why these things happened to us. He was able to put an end to suffering and death if he chose. And at times, he did not put an end to suffering and death and let some go on with broken hearts. And so you have to figure out the rest. And the only way to do it is by faith. Now, there's some things that we do not understand, but if Jesus comes and he explains these things to us, you say, now I understand. This is what his disciples said at the last. The Lord Jesus had told them in parables as to his origin, where he came from, where he was going. But then in the upper room discourse, the Lord Jesus said, I came out from the Father into the world. Again, I leave the world and I'm going back to the Father. And the disciples said, now you speak plainly. Now we understand. Now we believe. Isn't that remarkable? They did not understand until the day before the Lord Jesus was crucified. And he had told them plainly, and they said, now we understand. But all along it said they did not understand. He would speak things to them, and it said they were a mystery to them. They did not understand his words. But at times the Lord Jesus would do things, tell them nothing as to why he did them. At other times he would do things and tell them why he would do them, and they would not understand. But thank God that he told them in that upper room, I came from heaven to earth. I'm going back from earth to the Father. They said, we understand this. And so the only hope that I give you is that the Lord Jesus was able to do all things, but he did not do all things. And he has given us what is spoken of as an earnest in the Bible, an earnest, a promise to man that what he has done for these, he can do for all, and he shall do for all if they will place their faith in him. Give him time. Because God has plans for the world, and his plans were not terminated when the Lord Jesus died and rose again. And so he does something for people when he's on earth then. And the others, he said, you have to wait for a while. And for those that believe him, what was done for Jairus, and for Mary, and Martha, and the widow, and the woman bent over with disease, why, what he did for them shall be done for you, if you believe. But if you do not believe, the things that are the problems that perplex you now, and the wailing that you have now, it shall not end. But it shall continue, it shall envelop you, and the Bible says that in the future, instead of God drying all tears, there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And so for some of those that laugh now, when others have children that are sick and dying, it says in the future, those that laugh now are going to have wailing and gnashing of teeth. But he says for those who weep and wail now, he said, God will wipe away all tears. And for those that place their faith in the Lord Jesus, that will trust him as to the future, as well as to the future then, just a little while in the future, the Lord will work all things out, even though he does not tell you how he's going. going to do it. What he has done is this. He has demonstrated by the answers that people thought were unanswerable that they threw at him. The Sadducees and Pharisees came to him and tried to prove him with hard questions. And with the greatest of ease, he answered those questions. He knew things as to why they happened on earth and as to why things happen in heaven. And when they came perplexed because there are no answers to these things, the Lord Jesus answered their questions. But you and I have not met the Lord Jesus face to face, and we cannot ask him those questions. But if we did, he is able to give us an answer as he gave to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians. With a moment's reflection, he would tell you all the answers to your problem. The things that you say are unanswerable, they are unanswerable to you, but not to the Lord Jesus. But why I particularly read this portion today is because it is not something that happened to him. Because when Satan came with hunger that plagued the Savior, and poverty and obscurity, and Satan tried to tempt the Lord Jesus with these things, how can God do these things to you? You are supposed to be his son. The Lord Jesus dismissed him. No trouble at all. But when these things happen to other people, they were overcome by these temptations, but the Lord Jesus hastened to the rescue of some, and he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Fear not, only believe." He understood what would happen when the temptations of Satan came into their lives, and so in some cases, he told them why things had happened, and he told them what he was going to do, and he did it, and then all was well. If life were that simple, a problem arises, we go to Jesus. Jesus tells us why the problem arose. He tells us how he's going to solve the problem. He solves the problem, and then all tears are dried, and we go on through life. That would be delightful, wouldn't it? But he does not do that. Most of the time, he does not do it. The problems arise in our lives, and instead of being the one man that he said, "I'm going to heal you today," we're among the thousands and the millions that are left unhealed, that go on suffering, and that keep on shedding tears. But what we have to do is this. We have to learn from those selections that the Lord Jesus made and have faith that what he did for them in time, he will do for us. Because it says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so, in the areas of life, for some of us, he does not explain things, but he says, in words that he used today, "Trust me. Have faith in me." He said that in John 14. He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." And this is what happens in this portion today. At times, he tells people what he's going to do. At times, he does not tell them what he's going to do. But when he does not tell them, he simply says this. Now grasp it. It's most important. He knows what's going on in the heart of Jairus. And he says to him, "Fear not. Only believe." Now think of that. And this is what aggravates the situation. He says it to a man that has come to the Lord Jesus as rapidly as possible. Because he says, "My little daughter is even now at the point of death. Please come down before she dies and lay hands on her and heal her." And the Lord Jesus proceeds along the way. And if you've ever been in a hurry, it seems as if traffic at that time is the heaviest, you see. And so here, this Jairus is trying to get Jesus to his daughter, and the multitudes throng him. And of all things, the Lord Jesus is walking along at a slow pace, and a woman comes behind and touches the hem of his garment. And the Lord stops. And the man's daughter could die at any moment. And the Lord Jesus is looking around saying, "Who touched my garment?" And people are talking, conversation is going on, and time is passing, and Jairus is standing there waiting. And finally, because I'm not dwelling on the woman with the issue of blood today, finally, after the Lord Jesus says to her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And while he's speaking to the woman, and all the time that elapsed while he was yet speaking, they come from the ruler of the synagogue's house and say, trouble the master no further. Your little daughter is dead. Now, would that not be perplexity? Here you are in life, and you find the one man that can do something for your dying daughter. And you request him to do something, and he said, I will come. And on his way there, there is a multitude of people, and then some woman comes and touches the hem of his garment, and while he's having a conversation with her and the disciples, your daughter dies. Now, how would you feel about that? You would be overwhelmed. And this is what the Lord allowed to happen to this man. To some of us, hope is so near, and then hope is taken away from us, and we stand there shattered. And that's what happened to this man. And the Lord Jesus allows it to happen, because the Lord Jesus is never in any hurry. Do you know why? Because it's no different to him. If a child is sick, he can go and touch the child and heal her. Or if he waits and the child dies, it makes no difference to Jesus. He goes and he touches the dead child and gives her life. It makes no difference to Jesus. It does to you, but it does to Jesus. Because he is not only the great physician who heals, but he is also the resurrection and the life. And time is the thing that aggravates us, delays other people getting ahead of us and getting blessings from Jesus. They aggravate us, and they cause our faith to wane, and they fill us with fear that all hope is gone. But the Lord Jesus, when this happens, he simply turns to us and he says, fear not, only believe. Now, isn't that painful that he would tell us that? A man has told you that your daughter is dead, and Jesus says, fear not, only believe. There's nobody on earth that can tell you that except the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand it? If I were a physician, I were competent to revive a child that was sick. I had to get there, and I had to get there while there was life in her and administer my medicine and my expertise to give that child health again. But if I did not get there in time, I would not say, fear not, only believe. I would rush there to see if the child were actually dead. And then I would look at you and say, I can do nothing. Your child is dead. Had I come earlier, but I did not get here in time. But the Lord Jesus never says that. And so don't worry about the delays in life. If I delay, yes. But if the Lord Jesus delays, no. Because he is not only the physician, but he is also the resurrection and the life. And he is the one who heals the brokenhearted, and he knows the pains of sickness, and he knows the pains of fathers and mothers who have children that are sick. And then finally, it seems as if the Lord Jesus is going to do something, but he does not do something. And he says to you, fear not, only believe. And so I can talk this way because I'm not merciless, but I am one who believes the scriptures. And I know that in time, simply in a matter of time, what the Lord Jesus did for Jairus' daughter, he will do for all of you if you fear not and only believe. And for you who have believed, there may be fear, but that fear will bring on needless worry and anxiety and sorrow. But the Lord Jesus said, you do not have to have either one. The Savior said, fear not, only believe. Now, I want you to see this. Understand that there are different evaluations of the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I ask you, did Jairus believe that Jesus could do something? Yes. That's why he went and asked Jesus to come down. Did the servants in Jairus' house believe that Jesus could do something? Yes. They did believe. But let me ask you, did Jairus and the servants in his house believe that Jesus could do everything? And the answer is no. Why? Because they came out and said, had you been here earlier, but your daughter is dead, trouble the master no further. Now, some of you out there believe Jesus can do nothing. There are some who say, Jesus couldn't heal any sick person. Jesus couldn't raise the dead. And so that's the estimate of some. And others look at Jesus and say, yes, he can do something. Jesus can heal sick people. But then ask those same people, can Jesus raise decomposed bodies? And they would say, no, trouble him no further. He can do something for sick people, but he cannot raise the dead. But then there are those who believe that Jesus can not only heal the sick, but that Jesus can raise the dead. And if he cannot do those things, then Jesus is only good for those in the land of the living and for those who have loved ones that are sick. But if you have loved ones who have died, Jesus is no use to you. But Jesus can do for everyone, for the atheist, for the agnostic, the Lord Jesus can save their souls and turn them into believers. And then for those that believe that Jesus can do a little bit, but cannot do everything, he can work upon your life and experience and can cause your faith to grow and to say, we believe that you can do all things. And then those that have arrived at that plateau, because we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we pray, Lord, increase our faith, when our faith is increased to that level, then we can believe and not fear. But there are different grades of confidence in the Lord Jesus. No confidence, a little confidence, and complete confidence. Like the leper who came to Jesus, and he said, if you will, you can make me whole. Imagine that. A loathsome leper knowing that Jesus, if he wished to, could make him whole. And others would not even come. Why? Why, Naaman the leper did not believe that anything could be done. But a little maid said, there is a prophet in Israel that can do something. And then when the prophet did not do things the way that Naaman thought they should be done, he was ready to go away in a rage. But then his attendant said, submit yourself to the conditions of the prophet. And finally he did. And when he did, he was healed of his leprosy. And so understand this. Whether you believe that Jesus can do anything does not alter the fact whether he can do anything. If those say he cannot do anything, and if others said, trouble not the master any further, your child is dead, it does not mean that Jesus could not do anything. And so he went into the house, and he did what they thought he could not do. And I want all of you to remember that. If you say Jesus can do nothing, it does not mean that your opinion of the Lord Jesus nullifies his ability. He can still do it, and he shall do it for those that believe in him. And if you believe that Jesus can do just a little, it does not mean that Jesus can only do a little. It means perhaps he will only do a little for you, and there will be agony in your soul. But if you will listen to his words, fear not, only believe, then whatever happens, you can patiently trust the Lord Jesus without fear and without tears. And you can wait Jesus' time, and then Jesus will go in and do everything, even though multitudes have been thronging him, and even though people have been delaying by getting blessings, while all of those things have happened, and while others were getting blessings, you were left out. I see. We would let others miss the blessing so that my child could be healed? Why, yes. You see, among the multitude of sufferers, this is the one that came to me. This is the one that I love. Forget that one here. Come over to this one. And so we should let that poor woman with an issue of blood who's been suffering 12 years, let her remain ill and go to your daughter? You say, no, that would be selfish. And so you have to leave these matters in God's hands. And if he wants to take time and let you shed tears and be filled with fear and apprehension, then that's the will of the Lord and accept it. But in time, he will get around to you and your daughter as he will get around to this woman with the issue of blood and also the others that he passed by during the brief time when he was on earth. That's the important thing. But now, I want you to understand this, that there is polite society when Jesus is discussed, and there is crude, vulgar society when Jesus is discussed. Think of those that are associated with the ruler of the synagogue. They are reverent. They are respectful. They come out and they do not want to cause the Lord Jesus any embarrassment. Suppose you knew a physician could do some cures, could heal some sicknesses, but you knew that one sickness was out of his realm. Then, to save him embarrassment, you would say, do not invite into the house, do not make a fool out of the man. And so this is polite society. And so they say concerning Jesus, trouble not the master anymore. Your child is dead. Don't embarrass him. Don't bring him in and show that he's a failure to all the people that surround him. Don't do that. That's polite society. And so some people say that. Oh, yes. When Jesus was on earth, he was a great teacher. Oh, yes, and he had marvelous powers. He had a hypnotic influence over people. And no doubt, he could do things for sick people. Yes, yes. I have great respect for Jesus. But then you say to that polite society, well, can he raise the dead? Oh, no. Oh, no. But they would not in a crude, vulgar way tell you that. You see, they are too polite. They have too much breeding, and some people are that way. But those people, the Lord Jesus, when he hears them, and I told you the two readings are this. It says Jesus overhearing what they said, and it says Jesus not heeding what they said. Well, both of them are true, because he heard what they said, but he did not pay any attention to them. He gave no heed to what they said. He turned to the Father who heard. What men say about Jesus have a different effect upon him than what people say about Jesus and the effect that it has upon you. Remember that. They say to Jesus, he can't do anything now. And the Lord Jesus isn't worried. You insult him, ridicule him. He can't raise the dead. He can't heal the sick. This is what some say. And you listen to them, and it has a different effect on you. The Lord Jesus isn't concerned at all. He just says to those that are affected, fear not, only believe. And so all of the polite society that respect the Lord Jesus, that say, oh yes, you can do something, but you can't do this. He knows what people say about Jesus, the effect it will have on others. It's had an effect on you. You see, go out and get a learned man, a professor that teaches history, that teaches philosophy. Go and get a medical doctor and ask him what he thinks about Jesus. Yes, Jesus was a great teacher, a fine man to be respected, but death is the end of all things. That is what I say. And so you're filled with fear. It doesn't affect the Lord Jesus. He's not concerned with what the fools and blind say about him, but you are, you see. You listen to what they say, and Jesus knows that you're influenced by what they say. That's why he said, fear not. Why? Because he knows that when men speak, you listen to what they say, and you are affected by what they say. And if a medical doctor went in and examined that child, and these were professionals, remember that, the ones that were there, they had looked at the child, and they knew that she was dead. And so here is the professional part of life. And they had made a pronouncement upon Jairus' daughter. She is dead. And so the Lord Jesus, when he heard it, he paid no attention to it. And he said to Jairus, you disregard it. Fear not. Only believe. Because he would be afraid that Jesus had come too late. But the Lord Jesus said, fear not. Only believe. He is not concerned the insult that they gave him. Jesus can do something. He can't do everything. He could have drawn himself up and said, well, I cannot do anything. Well, then, I will leave you since I can do nothing and go his way. But he is gracious. And so he goes into the house, and then he makes his pronouncement. You see, he didn't tell what he was going to do. That's the terrible thing. He simply said, fear not, only believe. He did not say, I'm going to raise her from the dead. He simply said to Jairus, fear not, only believe. And there are things that perplex us, and he doesn't tell us what he's going to do. But he simply says, have no fear, trust me, believe in me. And so Jairus did that. And so when he comes into the house, he says, make way, another multitude, make way. The child is not dead, but she sleeps. And now, the polite society has disappeared, and we have vulgar society. And it says they laugh into scorn. Ha ha, this fool is supposed to be a prophet, a teacher, a great wise man. He says that she's not dead, she's just sleeping. It says they vulgarly laughed him to scorn. Jesus disregarded that. He put them all out. He said, the father and mother. And he said, Peter, James, John, you come with me. And he went in, and he took this little girl by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha kumi, which being interpreted means little lamb, arise. And the little child rose from the dead, and she sat up. And the Lord Jesus said, give her something to eat. And now, what about those who said Jesus can only do so much? What about those that laughed into scorn and said, he can do nothing? He said that she was dead, or sleeping and not dead. We said she was dead. What about those that laughed into scorn? Now, what about all of them? And what about all of you who have listened to polite society who say that Jesus can do something? And you who have listened to vulgar society who say that Jesus can do nothing, he's made a wrong diagnosis. What about all of you in that coming day who have been so influenced that you did not believe Jesus, but you believe what wise and learned men have opinions about Jesus, their opinions? Tell me, what do you think will happen to you in that day? Why did you not trust Christ as Savior? Because this learned man said that Jesus could do something. If a man were alive, he could heal him, but he couldn't raise the dead. And what about vulgar society that likes to throw insults and ridicule toward this Jesus of Nazareth? What about those? You listen to them, or you will be in hell with them. But it doesn't affect the Lord Jesus. Whether men politely say you can only do so much, or whether they with vulgarity laugh into scorn, the Lord Jesus goes about his business, and he does the will of God. And with these words, Talitha kumi, little lamb, arise. And then the dead arise. And that is going to be the horrible amazement that you're going to experience in the future, because you listen to what polite society said about Jesus, and you listen to what vulgar society said about Jesus, and you did not listen to Jesus himself, who said, fear not, only believe. And he doesn't tell you what he's going to do, and he doesn't tell you how he's going to do it. But he said, I am the truth, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Fear not, only believe. And so we have commentaries on the person of Christ, the commentaries of men and the words of Jesus himself. Listen to men, and your heart will be filled with sorrow and fear, and life will be empty. And you believe the words of Jesus, and your tears will be dried, and courage and hope will fill your heart. And in the coming day, all of those things that men told you were impossible will prove to be possible. You believe Jesus. Fear not. Only believe. Let us pray. Now, Father, we could wish that we were the ones that had no suffering, had full explanation when Jesus was on earth, but we know that most did not. The others simply had to trust and had to wait, and that is so with us today. We remember what the Savior said to Thomas. Thomas, you have believed because you've seen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Our Father, our desire is that by thy Spirit, all of those who are blinded by Satan and the opinions of men shall be illumined this day, to show them from this portion that we've read that while men deny and laugh into scorn, that he is able and he shall do what he said he was going to do. The dead shall rise, and we are thankful that thy Son is the resurrection and the life, and we've never seen it, but this man saw it, Jairus saw it, and then all of the others that laughed him to scorn were made fools of. But that horrible day, Father, when all of those that have laughed at thy Son shall be raised and face him at that great white throne, and then he shall say to them, depart from ye cursed into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Father, let men believe thy Son, and let them not believe the opinions of men about thy Son. We're thankful that he came from heaven and loved us and died on the cross for our sins and rose again. And so let us trust him for eternal life, and let us trust him for the emergencies of life. Help us, Father, to be those who fear not, but only believe in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.